Welcome to Firm Foundation. In these times of shifting standards and faulty foundations, there is a solid place on which to build a victorious life. And that place is the Firm Foundation of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Your host for Firm Foundation is Brian Hudson, a Bible teacher, pastor, author, and producer of Life Enriching Media.
We're going to get into the Word today. There is something very, very special I want to share with you today. Every word of God is special. So I'm saying that because this is today, and so it's special because it is today. But I believe that there is a word of the Lord for us today. And in the course of the message, I'm going to highlight an upcoming webinar on estate planning. And I want to emphasize that to everybody, especially younger people, will need to understand, as we've been saying in the theme of this service, that we want to be ready always and be ready for God, ready for life. And so today's message, I believe, will encourage us in a very important way. So maybe go ahead and send a text to somebody, encourage them to go to newcovenant.org and catch the live stream, social media, whatever. I believe, I'm sure people will be blessed by the Word of God on today. I'm going to do two parts to this message. We're still in the series, A Place Called Forward. And the topic today, part three, is light, your superpower. Say, light is my superpower. That's a pretty dramatic title, I know. And I believe we're going to back it up here in the teaching on today. All right, let's begin in our opening scripture. From Psalms 18, verse 28, David wrote this. This is the New International Version. You, Lord, keep my lamp burning. My God turns darkness into light. Say that. You, Lord, keep my lamp burning. My God turns my darkness into light. Now, we were a shouting church, we'd be shouting right about now. If y'all still shouted like you used to, you used to call this shouting ground. To realize that you, Lord, keep my lamp burning. When so much in life wants to snuff out our light. And my God turns my darkness into light. You don't do it. Counselor can't do it. Preacher can't do it. God does it. And of course, all the people around us can get us in position for God to help us. But when it all is said and done, it is God himself who turns darkness into light. Amen. So I want to teach you and preach about light as your superpower. We're going to study from Matthew 25 today. Talk about the parable of the bridegroom and the 10 virgins, or the young women. In verse 1, beginning here, Matthew 25, then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now, 5 of them were wise, and 5 of them were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps, but took no oil with them. But those who were wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, a cry was heard. Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. Verse 7. Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And when the foolish said to the wise, and the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but rather go to those who sell or buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready, say ready, those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Verse 11, afterward, the other virgins came also saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. Strong message, isn't it? Amen. And we're going to look at this today and understand something today, because light is a superpower. Say it again. Say, light is a superpower. Again, a very dramatic term. You might say a hyperbolic term. Use a 10-cent word there. But it's going to be backed up, because God's a big God. God is a superpower. God is the superpower. We talk about superpowers, you know, in the earth. Used to be it was United States and Russia. Now it's only the USA. We're the only superpower. We're the only superpower in terms of military might and all this stuff. We're it. But we found out, though, that you can be a superpower and people with other kinds of power can give you all kinds of problems. Because you're prepared to fight on one level, on a high level, and they come at you at a low level. So natural power never, never, ever is the final answer. All the natural power in this world, all the stuff we have and have access to sometimes is not enough. We need the light of God. See, I need the light of God. So today I want to teach from this text. And light is a superpower, and that's true in nature and in everyday life. And so Jesus used this parable of the bridegroom and the five wise and five foolish virgins and the lamp and the light. It's a parable. And it's going to teach us something important about light and about the source and supply that empowers light. Let me say this about a parable, first of all. A parable is a simple story used to illustrate a moral or a spiritual lesson. So I'm teaching the parable today, and from the parable that Jesus just read. Now, a metaphor is a figure of speech in which a word or phrase is applied to an object or an action. So I'm using light as a metaphor, okay? And I'm using the whole sermon as a parable based on what Jesus said, his parable. And there's a lot here to draw from. And see, God gave us parables because God knows that we relate to the earth, we relate to things we've seen. We are creatures. We're natural creatures. So we're accustomed to things around us. So when God wants to get truth to us, he often uses examples that we're familiar with. Pat just talked about having a student in her class, a new student, who speaks no English, but that he's learning from examples that she is showing him. Amen? And he's picking up English every day. So it's possible to learn from examples and from images and from stories and from things we see. So Jesus taught parables because he knew exactly that's how we learn. So today, I want to use the sun as a parable and light as a parable, because the sun is the closest thing we can think of as a superpower. I mean, our sun is extremely powerful. We know this. Even people who don't know science or make up their own science know the sun is powerful. Amen? I don't know about that. Well, hey, I'm going to take you down to Alabama, Mississippi in July and set you out there at noon. And you tell me the sun is not powerful, you know, even way up here. It's amazing, even way up in Michigan and stuff. In the middle of summer, the sun's hot everywhere. It's powerful. It's a superpower. We know this. But did you know that our sun is a star? Is a star. Our sun is called a yellow dwarf star. our sun isn't even one of the biggest stars. Now, this part of the sermon, I want you to understand how big God is, or try to understand how big God is. He is bigger than you think. He's bigger than any thought you ever had, any word you've ever used. He is bigger than your situation, than your opinion, than your points of view, than your thinking about whatever. God is just bigger. And so that God is light, the Bible says. So I want us to get a feel for in a sense of all about God, the power of God, the light of God that we are living in. Say, I live in the light of God. I want to show you a brief video. And this video is going to show you the relative sizes of stars, including our sun, and then our earth. I want you to just get a feel for how big God is. And as big as the earth is, the sun is multiplied times bigger than the earth. And our sun is a yellow dwarf, and there are suns multiplied times bigger than our sun. In all of that, God has in the palm of his hand. The whole thing is in the palm of God's hand. I mean the God that we know. The God who has a son named Jesus. So watch the video. It's very brief. And all of that is in the palm of God's hand. Now, what are you worried about? I don't know what I'm going to do. What's that got to do with anything? I don't understand. I don't understand. Well, that's a good thing, because you then are able to have God help you and bring to you the light that you need. Amen? So then I want us to go on. Now look at 1 John 5:1-5. Apostle John said, "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." Say, God is light. Yeah, he is light. And so that light is a superpower, manifest in these heavenly bodies, but mainly manifest in God himself. And it's interesting that the most powerful thing that God would make in creation are stars. Stars are the most powerful bodies God made. And then from that, we have the earth, and we have everything in the earth. We have people. All of whom we are made in God's image. So it's an amazing thought. And I hope that you would just let that kind of linger with you in terms of how great and how massive, how big God is, and how much of a superpower light is, and that God is light, and he has shined his light in us. He has shined his light. He even said that. Now, he says, "I am the light of the world." Then turn and say, "Now you are the light of the world." So then light, of course, that's the metaphor part. That's the word being used as an example of something. And God wants you to think about and be aware of. So to me, it's interesting that we have learned about things in nature, but the sizes of planets and all that and stars, we've come to that knowledge, which should make us even more thankful. People should be more in awe of God. And yet some still say there is no God. Bible says the fool has said in his heart there is no God. Amen. All right. So let's go on here into some more about this, this power of light. Light is a superpower. Going back to our text in Matthew 25. So again, the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins or 10 young women, we'll say, who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were wise and five of them were foolish. It does kind of seem like, doesn't it? Half the people in the world are wise and half are foolish. Just seems about right. You know what I'm saying? He's not saying that. I'm saying that. But it's interesting. It's observation. But listen now, God's kingdom rules over all. But while only the followers of Christ have God's kingdom in them, everyone's under the kingdom of heaven. There's a difference. Sometimes those terms are interchangeable, sometimes they're not. But kingdom of heaven, everything is under the kingdom of heaven. The sinners and saints, war and peace are all under the kingdom of heaven. But the kingdom of God is within you. So when he talks about here in the parable, the conditions of the five wise and five foolish virgins or young women, we're understanding that God holds everybody accountable. God holds everybody accountable at some point. And so that we see here in the text that we all have responsibilities in life. Those young women, all 10 of them, had responsibility in this story, this parable. It's a fictional story. It's a parable. And for them, it was important to have a lamp and keep it burning. Say, have a lamp and keep it burning. And so light represents everything God provides us. Just like the sun provides us everything in natural life. I mean, the heat, I mean, everything. The sun is the source of all this. In our natural world, we know this. But in God, our light, God is light. The light from him provides everything. And light represents our opportunity to advance in life and overcome darkness. Say, light is my opportunity to advance in life and overcome darkness. Yeah. So in the parable, then, we hear about the virgins had these lanterns. Now, we don't understand that today. We have no knowledge. We say, we understand candles. And candles have wax and a wick inside, and the wick and the candle both burn down. They were burned enough. But then in lanterns, the wick doesn't burn up. The wick draws from the oil, and the oil keeps the wick lit. Wick doesn't burn up. In a lantern, as long as you keep oil, it'll keep burning. That's the way lanterns worked back then, okay? So that in the parable, the young ladies had oil for fuel. Everybody had that back then. Everybody had a lantern. You had oil for fuel. Even suns have fuel. You know, the sun has fuel. Hydrogen, helium, all that is in the sun. The sun's a big nuclear reactor. I mean, times 10 million times 10 million. It has fuel, though. One day, it will run out of fuel. I mean, one day. Don't worry about it, though, okay? Next picture. So here's what a sun looks like when it runs out of fuel. It explodes. One part explodes. The rest of it condenses, becomes what's called a neutron star or a black hole. Now, just, you know, you can Google all that later, okay? The point is, though, here's my point. You don't want to look like that. Go back up. Put it back up. You don't want to run out of fuel and blow up and explode, all right? And, hey, I've looked like that. Not that picture, but you know what I'm saying? All blowed up. You know, blown up. Folks say blowed up. Messed up so bad, stuff just flew apart. Like a supernova. You know, a star that blows up has a pretty name. It's called a supernova. It just blew up. Amen. Now, I'm going somewhere with all this, not just being funny. It's a story here. So then in the parable, the virgins had oil as fuel. But the problem was the foolish virgins didn't maintain a supply of oil. The only oil they had is what they had in the lamp. The wise virgins had oil in the lamp and a supply of oil on the side. And they were ready to replenish the supply of oil because lamps, lanterns back then, the oil always ran down. Again, the fire and the wick consumed the oil, and over time, the level goes down, 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 and then it goes out. We just put more oil in. Simple. But you know, foolish people even make simple stuff hard. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it might be simple, but a fool will still mess it up. I speak from personal experience now. A fool will mess up a simple, here, you got a car. Change the oil. Never change the oil. Engine breaks. I don't know what happened. You know what happened. I mean, like, now thank God, cars nowadays can go a long time without changing oil, which this kind of makes it worse for some people. You can go a whole year, some cars. It's a forever thing. No, it's not forever. My point, though, is obvious. Sometimes and many times in life, we not paying attention to the conditions in our lives. We only see what's in front of us. And I thought about this, that to the unwise, to the foolish young women, they probably said, hey, I'm good. You know, lamp is burning. My lamp is burning just like yours is burning. The wise, the foolish, both, they all had burning lamps. Their lamps were lit. But, you know, the test of quality of life, the test of endurance isn't what you look like now. The test is, let's check with you tomorrow, next month, next year. Let's see what happens going forward. You know, I tell people a lot, people get into things, I've been into things, start something, get into something, join something. You know, ask the question, is this sustainable? A season and a sensation are not the same thing. We have sensations like, ooh, yeah, this is it. Ooh, it ain't no season, though. It's just a sensation. You feel it. You buy into it. You jump on board. And you find out it could not be sustained. It didn't have any oil. There's no oil other than what you're looking at. We've been there. Come on, we all been there. Hopefully we've been there enough to not go there again. Say, Lord, I've been there. I'm not going back there again. So then in the parable, then we have this story where, again, the five unwise, foolish young women did not take extra oil. So it says there, again, it says, those who were foolish took their lamps, but took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with the lamps. The wise had the lamp and other vessels with oil. Not just the lamp. You get that. Now, I want to say this, too, that interject this commercial in the middle of this message right here. And that is, we have an estate planning workshop coming up. Here's the slide right here. And I'm saying this because there's no cost to it. We're doing it. It don't cost you anything. Only costs you to pay attention. That's actually a pretty high cost, pay attention. With Attorney Jennifer Norton, who has helped us and our family, myself and my dad, Pat's family, to get their estate situation straightened out. And I'm not, you know, not saying this to other people can do it too, not just her. But I'm saying the concepts here, this is exactly what having oil looks like. That your lamp is burning now, but the thing is, and what happens is over time, we all run low on oil. And where we are, we can't sustain without wisdom and planning. And so I want to say that to you and interject that here in the middle of this sermon because it's important and it fits and it's in context. So let me back up one slide. So sometimes people look at life and say, I'm good. Right? Don't we do it? I'm good. How you doing? I'm good. However, you need to make preparations to keep the light burning. Say, I'm good. Say, I'm good. But I must make preparations to keep the light burning. And that's the message of this parable, that the foolish young women didn't have a supply of oil. But the most important thing of the whole message was they weren't ready when Jesus came back. And in the story, last verse said, basically, when Jesus come back to receive us, will you be ready? Will you be in position? That's the whole point of the story. Well, I want to continue here and just share some more things. So Matthew 25, verse 10. Look here now. Same story, 25th chapter, verse 10. And while they went to buy, so again, when the foolish women said to those who were wise, give me, our oil's run out. I need some of yours. No, I can't give you mine. Go buy your own. So they went out to buy. But while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in. Say, those who were ready went in. Those who are ready always go in. In everything in life, those who are ready always get in. Sometimes we've experienced as well, not getting in, not getting hired, not passing the examination. Come on, somebody. We weren't ready. We just showed up. Not ready. And somebody said, you can't come in. Guys, you're not ready. Afterwards, the other virgins also came, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, I don't know you. This is pretty cruel. Again, take the whole story in context. Okay, you're not talking about actual people. But it says to us that people who don't pay attention to God, listen to me, people who don't do what God says, don't prepare the way God says prepare, don't follow him, don't honor his word, he don't even know them. Now, folks say, I know God. Yeah, but he don't know you. You're just saying words. I've been there too. You know, I was a Christian before I got saved. Did y'all know that? Heard that story before? Yes, Pastor, 10 times, 100 times. I know, I ain't gonna tell it again. But it happens. You are a Christian, you don't even know Jesus, but worse, he don't even know you. He don't know people who don't pay attention to him. This sounds kind of hard, but it's truth now. People pretending, playing church. You know, people be streetwise and churchwise. Nothing fools God. But the sad part is they think the game is working. The game they're playing until they find out, God said, I don't know you. You can't come in here. Whoa, wait. Time out, God. must be some mistake. That's funny. It's tragic. But the thing is, that can be avoided. That whole scenario, that's why he gave the parable. To give people a heads up. To tell them what to do, who to believe, who to follow, who to trust. Because ultimately, it don't come down to your works. It come down to trusting Jesus, following him. Amen? So he says, surely I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. And that's the whole message of this parable. So then, listen to me. God does not put people out. They refuse to go in. Say, God does not put people out. They refuse to go in. Everybody in life, I think, should have the experience of missing a flight. Yeah. Missing a flight will teach you something. It'll teach you. Missing a flight is a bad, bad thing. Even though you don't die from it, you know, it don't make you sick or anything. I've missed one flight. Everybody only missed one flight. Nobody misses more than one flight. Because that experience of fooling around. See, again, the Bible says that the unwise virgins, the foolish virgins, he said their problem was, he says, the foolish virgins slumbered and slept. There it is. Now, you know, what's slumbering? It's not quite sleep. You know, slumbering is my word. It's fooling around. Slumbering is like fooling around, just like doing nothing, not going to sleep, not awake. So you get the point. So if you miss a flight, it's because you were slumbering. And you were running, taking your time, didn't get to the airport early, got there just in time. I mean, to the airport. But then there's check-in, there's security check-in. You know, that could be a long line. You never know. Then there, how far is the gate? You know how it is. When you're running late, it's the last gate. It's the last one at the end of the whole. That's the one you got to get to when you're running late. And then, but the worst thing is to find out the door is closed. And the text just said the door is closed. And so it's interesting. So then that experience, I experienced it one time. And you try to plead and say, you know, can I get on the flight? No, the door is closed. And they come back and say, you should have come earlier. You should have come on time with a calm face. You all of, I got to get, they're like, they see it every day. They see it. They heard every story. And they say the same thing. You should have come on time. You should have come early. And the ticket, when you got the ticket, it said, be at the airport hour and a half, 2 hours early. Everybody told you. Everybody said, have the lamp, get some oil in your lamp. Because we don't play. This is not your airline. It's our airline. You don't get to just show up. And we hold the plane up, bring it back up, open the door, let you on. Now, it does happen, though. I've seen that. If you are a really rich person, they'll bring the plane back for you. They'll do it for some people. But you ain't one of those people. I'm laboring the point. Let me go on. I made the point. I can go on now. But listen, y'all, when it comes to doing business and getting things done, we don't want to mess around. Don't slumber. Don't sleep. Don't be obsessive either. But just walk with God. Do what's right. Do what's normal. It's normal to be prepared. It's normal to have a lamp burning and have extra oil. That's all normal behavior. We make it like it's something. What's wrong? He's all hyper. He ain't hyper. He's just doing things the right way. We're in a culture now where we look down on people doing things the right way. He talks white. What are you talking about? Because he don't say is you is or is you ain't. He don't talk like that, so he's talking white. What are you talking about? Listen to your grandparents, how they spoke. Our parents and grandparents didn't speak that way. They didn't speak Ebonics. And listen, they had way less than we had. But they valued education. They valued the standard English. Come on, somebody. Although we have slang, slang is fun. We throw it around. But when it comes time for the interview, hey, I've sat in places, you know. I've sat at Qdoba, my wife and I, no, I forgive her or me, not just me, but at Qdoba, I saw two young men being interviewed. Both of them, pants were sagging, talking trash, together being interviewed. And the guy's talking to him, going through the motions, I'll say. I bet you a dollar he didn't hire them. But they showed up unprepared. I mean, the point is, this parable speaks to life all across the board, at every level of life. So when it comes to getting things done, don't mess around. Don't be foolish. Be wise. All right. Now, let me give you some keys. I'm going to finish this next week. I'm almost done. Here's some keys I want to give you to light and darkness. Now, people spend too much time talking about and dealing with things of darkness. I'll explain that here and next week. We spend way too much time talking about dealing with things of darkness. We dwell on, we're upset, we're angry, we are vexed. You know, Christ said, well, the Bible says that we ought not, be anxious about the wicked. We ought not fret about these things. Here's the reason why. T.D. Jakes said this. This is good. He said, darkness is not a thing. It is a result. Darkness isn't a thing. It's a result. Which his next point clarifies that. When you turn up the light, you don't have to tell the darkness to leave. Say, when I turn up the light, I don't need to tell the darkness to leave. Darkness isn't a thing, y'all. It's a result. So if all the lights in this room go off, we say it's darkness. It's just the absence of light where it is. But ultimately, because God is light and you're in God and God is in you, darkness is not a thing. You'll get that tomorrow, maybe. Just think about it, okay? I come against the forces of darkness. Yeah, turn on the light. Jonathan, go ahead and turn off the lights in here, please. I believe the stage light's on. Yeah, so turn off the lights. Yeah, turn them off. All right. Lights are going off. Okay. All right, that's good right there. So I curse this. I come against you, the spirit of darkness. I bind you. Don't bother with that. Turn the lights on. Now, I know I just blew up a whole lot of people's ministries, you know, doing that right there. I blew up a whole bunch of ministries right there. Just made them irrelevant. They need you to think that darkness is something. What that darkness is your lack of light. You're not walking in light. You're acting like the unwise, the foolish young women. You let your light go out. Didn't have a supply of oil. And your light went out. That's not the end of the world. Just, you know, get the light back in. All right, so then next point I'll make, last point really is, you cannot turn up darkness. You can only turn up the light. Light is your superpower. Say it again. Light is my superpower. We're finished with the verse we began with, Psalm 18, 28. Read together, please. You, Lord, keep my lamp burning. My God turns my darkness into light. Read with me, please. You, Lord, keep my lamp burning. My God turns my darkness into light. How does God turn it into light? He just shows up. When he shows up, the darkness can't stay. Now, I don't say that to minimize or spiritualize situations in your life that feel like darkness. I understand that. But at one level or another, there's a light of knowledge, the light of God, the light of understanding. I mean, we need light in situations to resolve the situations. And so that I just thank God that God is light. In him, there is no darkness at all. He added the phrase at all. Because sometimes, you know, we want to qualify in life that, you know, yeah, I see God working, but, you know, the devil, but, no, in God, he is light. There's no darkness at all. Paul said that we should leave no room for the flesh. You know, worship God, don't leave any room for the flesh. So then, I want you to be encouraged by the examples today, the parable of the sun and the size of the suns and all that, and just see how big God is and how all of that is in the palm of God's hand. And so we are in a place, in a good place, in Christ with each other. We are encouraged. We can encourage other people. Amen. We can help them, lift them up out of what they think is darkness because they haven't had a light. We see the light of God. Amen. All right, let's all stand. Father, thank you for the word today. Thank you for reminding us of these really simple principles, but are yet profound.